As we continue our study in the course, the book of Zechariah, we're going to begin lesson number 10. And if you look on your lesson outline, you'll see that lesson number 10 will cover Zechariah chapter 6 and verses 9 through 15. And in lesson 10, we're going to look at three main points. First, we'll look at the historical event and the prophetic symbolism, and we'll look at three items under that one main point. And second of all, we'll look at the messianic significance of the prophetic symbolism, and we'll look at several things under that. And then we'll wrap up chapter 10 by looking at point number three, the provision for a permanent memorial. So let's begin lesson number 10. Immediately following the overthrow of the Gentile world powers, pictured in the judgments of Zechariah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 8, and Revelations chapter 6, 1 through 8, we see the manifestation of Christ in his kingdom glory typified in the crowning of Joshua the high priest. The crowning of King, Priest, Messiah is thus set forth symbolically by the coronation of Joshua, which is not a vision but in an actual historical event, which evidently took place the day following the night of visions. Let's begin. Look at Zechariah chapter 6 with me, in verses 9 through 11. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobijah, and of Jedidiah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. What we want to look at, first of all, is the historical event and the prophetic symbolism. The arrival of the deputies from Babylon with gifts for the temple. Evidently, some of the Babylonian exiles were bringing some gifts for the construction of the temple. The gift was to be received, not scanned or refused. There may have been some built-in prejudices towards those who had remained in Babylon. The names of the returned captives were God-honoring, displaying faith and reverence. For example, Heldai means the Lord's world. Jabadai or Jabajah means God is good. Jedidiah means God knows. These men were undoubtedly men of spiritual depth and character, which accounts for the reason they were chosen for the mission. Now, second of all, we want to see the command to Zechariah to meet the Babylonian delegation, and we have that in the verse number 10 of Zechariah 6. We're told, And come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. We see, Come thou the same day, expresses an urgency. in importance of the task. No one else but Zechariah was qualified for the following events. His 8 night visions had prepared him to have a full appreciation for the double application of the crowning of Joshua. The idea is that God never gives a man a vision without a reason. The reason why they gathered at Josiah's house is not given, but a hint may be in his other name, as we see in verse 14, the name Hen, which means it is its graciousness. Gracious, hospitable people seem to get in on some extra blessings. Amen. The visitors from far-off Babylon with their gifts were a type of the vast number of Gentiles in the millennial age who would bring their worship to the king and their wealth to build his temple. A New Testament picture is of the handful of Greeks who came seeking Jesus. Look it with me in the Gospel of John in chapter number 12. The Gospel of John with me, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. And Jesus answered him, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So here we see a picture of that, of the future millennium when the Gentile nations, amen, would come and bring their gifts and worship to the king to build his temple. And we see a picture of that here where there were certain Jews that came up to worship at the feast that wanted to see Jesus. Amen. Now, thirdly, we want to see, as we've been looking at the historical event and the prophetic symbolism, we want to look at the instruction of Zechariah to make a crown and coronate Joshua, the high priest. Look with me again in Zechariah chapter 6, if you would, in verse 11. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. The fact that Joshua, the priest, is designated to receive the crown and not Zerubbabel, the civil leader, is extremely important to notice. In the Old Testament, the kingly and priestly offices were kept rigidly distinct. The office of king pertained alone to the house of David, and we see that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, in Psalm 89. While the priestly office was warning enough of God's irreparable separation between these two functions. Look, for example, in 2 Chronicles with me, if you would, in verse 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, if you please. And verses 16 through 21. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And then Uzziah was wroth, and had an incense in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even arose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So what we see here is, again, a demonstration how the Lord kept these two distinct offices, the office of king and priest, separate. Here we see the king, Uzziah, going in to the house of the Lord to burn incense unto the Lord, which was a function of the priest. And the Lord was very displeased and smote him with leprosy. The entire event, then, is a picture, this coronation of Joshua the high priest, a picture of future, the future priestly kingship of Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 7. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. So what we have here is a picture, a foreshadowing, as the coronation of Joshua the high priest, amen, we see a picture into the future of the priestly kingship of Christ when he returns a second time, amen. He'll be Lord of lords and King of kings, and he will also be priest. Hebrews chapter 7 with me. Hebrews 7. And in Hebrews chapter 7, we want to look at the first three verses in Hebrews 7. For Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And to him also Abraham gave a tenth of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after this also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. So here we have a picture of type of Melchizedek, who is described as not only a priest, amen, but also as a king. And that, again, what that pictures is the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to occupy both the offices of king and priest. Another reference we won't turn that I'll give you in relation to this would be Psalm 110, verse number 4. Now, second point that we want to look at in lesson number 10 is the messianic significance of the prophetic symbolism. First of all, as we return to Zechariah chapter 6, we read in verse 12, And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. Now, The first thing we want to look at is Messiah, the branch, shall appear as Joseph's anti-type. Zechariah was directed to speak unto Joshua, saying, "Behold the man." What's interesting, Pontius Pilate was echoing prophecy when he uttered these words before the yelling, murderous mob at Jesus' trial. Look it with me in John chapter 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19, in verse number 5. Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." If the Jews had not been blinded by hatred, religious bigotry, and unbelief, they would have recalled the prophetic usage in Zechariah. The word branch is foreshadowed in the following verses. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 in verse number 2. Isaiah 53:2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Again, this is a reference to the branch being the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look it with me in the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33 with me, if you would. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, in verse number 15. "In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Again, another prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ is foreshadowed here in Jeremiah chapter 33, in verse number 15. And let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 11 with me, if you would. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. We read, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Again, this is an all a prophetic, amen, reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. The idea is that the Messiah sprouts out of the fallen trunk of David from his own land and nation. Now, second of all, as we're looking at the main point number 2 in lesson 10, the messianic significance of the prophetic symbolism. Number 2, we want to look at Messiah the branch shall build the millennial temple. Turning back to Zechariah chapter 6 in verse 12, we read, "And he," that's referring to the branch, "and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Look at also with me in verse 13. "And even he shall build the temple of the Lord." The reference here is not to the earthly temple, which was then in construction, for this was to be finished by Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:9. But what it refers to is the millennial temple, is meant here. And we read about the millennial temple being built and the construction of it in Ezekiel chapters 40 to 42. Also, in Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 2 and 4. Thirdly, we want to look at how the Messiah, the branch, shall bear the glory. Look with me. In Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13, as we continue that verse, "And he shall bear the glory." Yes, he deserves all the glory and will receive it. Look with me in Psalm 8. Psalm 8, if you would, in verse 1. The Bible declares in Psalm 8, verse 1, "Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." Also in Psalm 45 with me, Psalm number 45, in verse number 3, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty." Psalm 148. Yes, my dear friend, he's going to bear the glory, amen, of that temple. Looking in Psalm 148, if you would. Psalm 148, in verse number 13. Psalm 148, verse 13. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven." My dear friend, you want to praise something today, you should be praising the Lord, amen. Because his glory, not man's glory, but his glory is above the earth and heaven. That's some shouting grounds right there, amen. I tell you, sometimes I get a reading some of these passages about the Lord and his coming, and I tell you, they just want to make you run the aisles, amen? Let's turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse number 3. Habakkuk 3:3. God came from Taman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Amen to that. Then in Revelations, chapter 19, the book of Revelations, chapter 19. Revelations 19, verse 16, talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, at the end of the tribulation with the saints. We read in Revelations 19, 16, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen to that. Alrighty, we're looking at the, in lesson 10, main point number 2, the messianic significance of the prophetic symbolism. We want to look at subpoint 4, Messiah, the branch, shall be a king prince. Let's turn back to Zechariah 6 and verse 13. "And he shall sit upon his throne." Of course, talking about the Messiah, the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ. "And he shall sit upon his throne." There's the kingship. "And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be be between them both. So here we see that Messiah the branch shall be both king and priest. Christ will take possession of his inheritance. And of course, we read about this in Revelations chapter 5, verse 1, all the way through Revelations 19 to 16. For the first time in history of the world, there will be absolutely no separation between church and state. Amen to that. Next, we want to look at Messiah the branch shall bind together in unity both Jew and Gentile. Look with me, if you would, again in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 15. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. They that are far off shall come. Amen. Jew and Gentile shall be brought together. Sort of reminds me of a verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians here. Talking about us that were afar off. Amen. In Ephesians 2, in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Look at verse 13, Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh. My dear friend, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, amen, you're made nigh, amen, by the blood of Christ. You and I were afar off at one time, but praise the Lord, we've been brought to Christ by his blood. Many times Old Testament prophets were given insight concerning a day in which the nations of the world would worship at the feet of Christ. Let's look at some of these prophetic references. First of all, turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah, if you would, chapter number 2. In Isaiah chapter number 2, in verses 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. A prophetic reference that there'll be a day in the future that nations of the world would come and worship at the feet of Jesus. Look it with me in Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56 and verses 6 and 7. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer. Listen to this now. For all people. Amen to that. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 and following. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes around about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be, my dear friend, as we look forward to that second coming with all nations. Amen. Will come and worship the Lord. That's not happening today, is it, by any means? One more reference we want to look at is Micah. Micah chapter 4 in verses 1 and 2. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we see then, Messiah the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall bind together in unity both Jew and Gentile, just as they are binded today, amen, in the body of Christ through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then finally, on the point number 2, again, we've been looking at some length under the messianic significance of the prophetic symbolism. We want to look at finally, Messiah the branch will demand unflinching obedience. Messiah the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, will demand unflinching obedience. Again, turning back to Zechariah chapter 6 in verse 15. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. God has always blessed obedience. And all Zechariah is doing is echoing what God had promised. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, and verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And of course, here in Deuteronomy, he's speaking to the nation of Israel, amen, through Moses. But we want to remember it also, although this verse in Deuteronomy may doctrinally not apply to the Christian today, to the body of Christ, but certainly we can spiritualize it and say, you know, as we are obedient to God, he does bless the Christian, amen. And as we're obedient to God, we stay out of a lot of trouble, amen. We avoid a lot of unnecessary chastising from the Lord, amen. Not to say if, you know, that there, God is not going to bring trials and tribulations into our lives to strengthen us and to test us and see where our affections lie. But overall, if we're obedient to God, the Christian's obedient to God in this church age, then God will bless him. Now, finally, the last point we want to see in lesson number 10 is the provision for a permanent memorial. The provision for a permanent memorial. And we find that in Zechariah, if you turn back to Zechariah with me, chapter 6, in verse number 14. And the crowns shall be to Tobijah, and to Jedidiah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. The crown was not given to Joshua, but rather his crowning was to serve as a typological event. The crowns are then passed on to the Babylonian delegation. The whole thing pictures Jesus passing crowns onto a Gentile church. The total number of people wearing crowns are 5, which is the number of crowns made available to the church. Let's look briefly at these 5 crowns that are promised to the church. Amen. First of all, we want to begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 in verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 25. In every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. And of course, so we have here the Christian is running the race, amen, the Christian race, not to obtain a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown, amen. And of course, that's based on keeping, as Paul talks about, his body under, keeping himself back from fleshly lusts, amen, from giving into his flesh, amen. Next, we want to look in 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse number 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Crown of rejoicing is when we come before Jesus as Christians, we'll receive a crown of rejoicing for all of those that we have led to Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about to the Thessalonians. That they are his crown of rejoicing, the ones that he had led to the Lord Jesus Christ by preaching the gospel of grace. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse number 8. Actually, should be 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, 8. Paul writes to Timothy, "Hence laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." There's a crown of righteousness that will be given to each Christian, to those in particular like Paul, who look for, who love the appearing, or looking for and loving the appearing of Christ. So evidently we can make the inference here that there are going to be Christians that will not love the appearing of Jesus Christ, as hard as it may seem. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 4. 1 Peter 5, 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," okay, the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, "ye shall receive a crown of glory." There's the fourth crown, the crown of glory, "that fadeth not away." Amen. The crown of glory. Some may say, I believe, of course, this is in the passage, in the context, it's talking about how an elder is to be over the flock, amen, to feed the flock of God, as Peter is describing, as he is an elder. Some say this may be a crown only for those faithful under-shepherds of Jesus Christ. And then we see in James chapter 1, described the fifth crown. James chapter 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." There's a crown of life for each Christian who endureth temptation. Amen. And we see a second reference to that also in Revelations 2:10. Revelations 2:10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And of course, this is found in Revelations 2 as Jesus is addressing one of the seven churches there, amen, the church of Smyrna, amen. So I believe there's an application of that crown, both in, could be the tribulation and also this age of grace for those who endure temptation, amen. So it's interesting to see then here in Zechariah the crowns that are passed on the Babylonian delegation, amen. The total number of people wearing crowns are 5, which just happens to be, and I don't think just happens, there's no accidents with God, is the number of crowns made available to the church. For 1,000 years, my friend, the crowns of the church will serve as a memorial to a people who loved their God. Well, that ends lesson number 10 in the course on the book of Zechariah.